Amen. Hello, friends. Good to be with you as we worship the Lord. Also get to celebrate that Pastor David 10 years. Just on a personal note, David was born on the same day as me, on the 14th of January, many, many moons before me. He then finished Bible college on the year I was born. And David, if I get to 30, 40 years of pastoral ministry, having the character that God has made in you, I'll be truly blessed. So really honor the character that you have, David, and the way that you've served us. And I'm very, very thankful for you being part of our team. So thanks, Pastor David. Friends, this would be a time where we would read God's word and then I would preach. Tonight, we're going to do it in reverse. I'm going to preach from God's word. We're going to explore it. And then we're going to have it read. Point is, sometimes it's nice to do something that's slightly different, but also I hope for us as we work through it, as I preach through it, you'll see a bunch of things in it that then when we read it again together, some of the light bulbs will go, wow, I didn't see that. Or you'll see the way that God's hand is at work. That's the reason we're going to do it a bit differently. So get a Bible out though, because we're going to explore it. We're in Ruth. I didn't look up the page number. Sorry about that. So pop quiz, whoever gets to the Burgundy Pew Bible, yell out the page number, please, because my page number here is going to be useless to you. Two ten. Points for you, Mr. Geordie. Thank you. So yes, we're in Ruth chapter 2. We're exploring Ruth together. It's lovely to hear the flickers. I'll pray, and then we'll get into this together. Our good and our gracious God, we thank you for your word. And in this part of it, we're thankful for characters whom you have been at work in and through. And Father, we pray tonight as I preach that you'll help us to understand your word, so we can see your sovereign hand and what it looks like to walk in faith, whether we are full or whether we are empty. Spirit, be our teacher. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, sometimes our faith requires us to be bold. Sometimes our faith requires us to be silent. Sometimes our faith requires us to work hard. Other times our faith requires us to rest. Sometimes we have to have the faith of the blind man in search of Jesus. Sometimes we have to have faith of the four people that carried him there. Sometimes we have to have faith that Jesus is enough when we have everything. Sometimes we have to have faith that Jesus is enough when we have nothing. Sometimes we have to have the faith of the seeker. And sometimes we need to have the faith of the one who's already found Jesus and walking with him. Friends, those of us who are Christian, we already have faith in Jesus. And some of us who aren't Christian yet, in a sense, are exploring that faith and taking steps of a kind of faith in seeking him. In this story tonight, we see two different kinds of faith. Faith in the one God through two completely different circumstances. So as it turns out, those circumstances interweave and intertwine. And what we see in these two examples of faith is one who is empty and one who is full. And we see what it looks like to trust and obey God, whether we are empty or whether we are full. And we see what it looks like to have a beautiful picture of God's kindness. God's kindness in and throughout these circumstances. Now, the way we're going to do it, I said before, we're going to look through it together and then we're going to have the Bible reading afterwards. But we're going to explore the passage. We're just going to look through Ruth chapter 2. And then after we've finished it, we're going to look at it through Naomi's eyes and then see it in our story today. That's our trajectory. So I heard the flickering. We're already in Ruth chapter 2. Let me set the scene. It's a story that goes from being empty to being full. But the stage that it's set is we have a couple of characters that we know of. We know of Naomi and we know of Ruth. Naomi is an older woman who's now a widow. She's from Bethlehem. She left in the time of the judges to go to Moab with her husband and two sons. They marry Moabite women, of which one of them is Ruth. They all die except for Naomi and Ruth. And then they go back to Bethlehem. Now, Ruth is the other main character of the story. She's a widow. She's a foreigner because she's from Moab. And if you remember, Lachlan preached this last week, Moabites were the enemy of Israel, amongst other things. They're told not to marry them. But we have this woman named Ruth who's now part of the story. And she has chosen, it's important here, she's chosen, if you have a look back in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, she's chosen to commit herself to Naomi, and she's chosen to commit herself to God's people and to the Lord. She's made this commitment, and we speak about it as her like covenant making, her kindness into Naomi. So the setting is you've got these two women who've made their way back from Moab to Bethlehem. And the moment is verse 22 of chapter 1. They arrive in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. It has been famine, but now the barley harvest is beginning. And we're asking the question for these two women, how are they going to survive? You and I don't really have this question in life. Where am I going to get food tonight? We're going to go to our fridge, and we're going to go KFC on the way home or something. Tonight in particular, we're going to Cheap Eats. These guys are wondering, how am I going to eat? How am I going to survive in this life? Two women, one old, one young, one who's a foreigner. Their life is not looking very hopeful. And this is where we find ourselves in chapter 2. Chapter 2 has three scenes. The first scene, we're introduced to Ruth and her emptiness and one who is in need of a search. It says this, so Naomi, she had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. We're introduced to this man named Boaz. Talks about him as a relative to Naomi. Not super important in chapter 2, becomes very important in chapter 3 and chapter 4. But it gives a glimmer of hope for this potential man because maybe he'll care for them, maybe he has some commitments to them. Anyway, his name is Boaz. We also hear he is a man of standing. That's a short way of saying very wealthy and has a real high moral standing too. Very respected. They talk about him being a pious, religious Israelite. If this was an Aussie Bible, fair dinkum top bloke. That's who Boaz is. He's the fair dinkum top bloke. So Ruth, the Moabite, says, this is verse 2. She says to Naomi, let me go to the fields. Let me pick up the leftover grain behind anyone whose eyes I find favor. Now, that sounds to us a little bit strange. Why does she want to go to the fields to pick up leftovers? Like, we don't do that in Australia. It'd be very weird if someone rocks up to your workplace, goes into the fridge and takes out your leftovers. That would be weird. You don't go out to the country and do that. What's going on here in Israel? It's a bit of a strange thing to do. But actually, it's quite common practice. The harvesters would go through, and what was left behind, people could pick up. And in the Bible, that is particularly significant. We'll get to that in a moment. But Ruth says to Naomi, let me go. Let me go and do it. Now, that might just pass us by, but Ruth is putting herself in a very risky situation. She's saying to Naomi, let me go out into the Israelite fields. I'm a foreigner from the evil land of Moab. Let me go out there and see if I can find favor. This is a step of faith. Now, why would Ruth want to do this? What would give her some sense of hope that this could work out for her? It is likely that she has heard about the law, about God's word from Naomi. She's heard what God has said to the people. So if you want, you can flick with me to Deuteronomy. I'm going to Deuteronomy chapter 10. This is where we hear about what God says to his people in how they're meant to live their life. We might think of these boring laws, but you're going to see them come to life. This is chapter 10, verse 17. Moses talking, he says, for the Lord your God is the God of gods. He's the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality, who accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. You are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. Care for the vulnerable, care for the widow, care for the foreigner. Who's that? That's Ruth. Also, if you keep flicking, you could go to Deuteronomy 24. And this is the part that's particularly relevant for the finding stuff that's left over. Verse 19, talking to the Israelites who are rich and have a harvest field. When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back and get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember, you are slaves in Egypt. That is why I command you to do this. You see the picture here? You're meant to care for the foreigner who's chosen to reside among you. And when you go and harvest your field, you've left money behind. Don't go pick it up. Leave it for those who have no fields for themselves. Leave it for the ones who need it, for the ones who cannot provide. You leave it for them. Now, is that a guarantee that the Israelites will do this? No. We've went through Isaiah, right, a bit ago, and God's people, he's judging them because they're not obeying the law. They're not caring for the fatherless. They're not caring for the widow and the foreigner. But Ruth is having a sense of hope here. She's having a sense of faith that perhaps God will work through his people. Perhaps she can be provided for. And so she ventures out. Verse 3, Naomi says, "Go ahead, my daughter." She went out, entered a field, and began to glean, which means to pick up the leftovers, behind the harvesters. And as it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from a clan of Elimelech. Gleaning is risky business. She's venturing out in faith. But if you imagine this scene happening now, like if we had the band playing and I was asking them to play as we did this sermon and we read it, they'd be playing like minor chords and they'd be suspended and it would just be, you'd be filling with angst as you read this. Like if you go to a theater and like, or watch a movie, the tension rises within you. What's going to happen for Ruth? It's a risky spot. And yet there's this hopeful twinkling of Boaz coming into the scene, because as it turns out, she's wandered into the field of the man Boaz. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. The Hebrew says her chance chanced upon. And here she is in Boaz's, the top bloke's field. She needs to venture out for favor and for kindness. Sometimes in our life, at some point or another, we have to step out of our comfort in search of God's favor, in search of God's kindness, probably not for food, but for his kindness over our soul and for our being too. Peter had to step out of the boat. We might have to give our money away. Ruth had to step out into the field. At some point, we need to venture out in faith and see where God leads us. Which brings us to scene two. We're in Boaz's field. And now Boaz kind of becomes the main character in the story here. It says, "Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and he greeted the harvesters. 'The Lord be with you.' 'The Lord bless you,' they answered." Well, what a beautiful exchange that's going on here. And Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, who does that young woman belong to? Boaz, he notices someone who is not of their clan. He notices who is different. He looks out, I don't know how many people are here, but he sees the visitor. He sees the one who's on the fringe. Who is that? And the overseer says, she's the Moabite who came from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean among you and the sheaves behind the harvesters.' So she's come into the field. She's remained here from morning to now, except for a short break in the shelter. Like someone's spoken to her, right? Someone has seen her. Boaz's characters seem to infiltrate amongst his people. And Boaz learns four things about this woman, Ruth. She's a Moabite. She's with Naomi. She's requested to glean, and she works hard. That's all he knows about this woman, Ruth. It's important to see here, Boaz has to do nothing. Nothing is required of Boaz from this point. Every part of the law is being fulfilled. She's not in trouble. She's gleaning behind, and she is being provided for according to the law. Boaz has to do nothing. It is like the new person has come into the church tonight, and you see them, and they've come in with a bulletin in their hand. They've been greeted by the Connect team, and they're sitting among us. Do you feel compelled to see them? To see them after the service? There is nothing that requires you to do anything at that point. But what is the character of Boaz? We learn he is not just a man to the letter of the law. We see verse 8. Boaz says to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean another field. Don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow after the other women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." He doesn't say, "Random young woman from Moab." No, "My daughter." What an invitation. What an embrace that he has. And then do you hear his provision and protection? "You're welcome to stay here. I've told no one to touch you. No one to reprimand you. Be here. You are safe with us. Keep coming back. Don't go to another field." What a beautiful invitation that he has given to her. And what is Ruth's response? Oh, she bows low, verse 10, her face to the ground. She asks him, "Why? Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Back to verse 3, what was she looking for? Sorry, verse 2, "For someone to find whose eyes I can find favor." She sees it in Boaz. Boaz gives her that favor. She's overwhelmed by his offering to her. And then Boaz says, he responds, look out for what he notices about Ruth. What does he see in her? "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and your mother and your homeland and came to live with the people you did not know. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." What does Boaz see? In part, yeah, he sees a foreigner who's come to live among them. But ultimately, he's seen a woman who has switched allegiances, who has come and committed herself to find refuge under the shadow of the Lord's wings. To find refuge by the Lord, and he asks that the Lord will bless her. What doesn't he notice? Anything about her physical characteristics. Do you notice anything about that? Nothing. The narrator doesn't care for it. Boaz doesn't care for it. It's her character that is shining through here. What a beautiful thing. And then we get verse 13 where Ruth, again, she's like, "Oh, may I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord. You have put me at ease." That fearful woman who wandered into the fields wondering if she's going to be attacked, wondering how many fields will I have to get to before I at least can pick up something. First field, I found favor. I can now drink water. "You've put me at ease." You know that feeling, right? To be put at ease when you wander into a new church for the first time, or you wander into work and someone just puts you at ease. They remember your name. They ask you to sit next to them, whatever it may be. Ruth has been put at ease through the hands of this very powerful man named Boaz. And then mealtime comes. Verse 14, at mealtime, It's kind of like you're at school when the bell goes, you're at work and it's lunchtime, you're on the construction site and it's smoko. But what's going on for Ruth? Where can she go? She can smell the roasted grain that was cooking for the last hour or two. She can smell the whiff of the wine vinegar come across her nose as the women walk it past. And she looks in her hands, empty. She sees the women go and sit down amongst their humdrum chitter-chatter. Who is she to sit with? And Boaz says, come over here. Come have some bread. Dip it in the wine vinegar. And when she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and she had some left over. Boaz invites her to come, sit, be with us, be among my people. Eat the food that wasn't prepared for you, but I want you to have it. Dip your bread into our communal cup of wine vinegar. Enjoy it with us. I remember when I rocked up to Lippmann, my previous job, working construction, in the first week, I was petrified of going to lunch. And the director walked past my desk, Matt, get up, lunchtime, plonked me down in the middle of the lunch table, introduced me to everyone. I was still nervous, but man, I felt part of it. Tonight there's cheap eats. There are some people among us who are on the empty side of faith, who are feeling a little bit uneasy here. And if you were to walk them in, imagine that. Imagine you're a new person and someone picks you up, walks you into cheap eats, taps for you, sits next to you, introduced to your people of Nahui. How much would you feel at home? This is the heart of Boaz that he has here. This is a beautiful extension of his hospitality. But his hospitality doesn't end there. Remember, he doesn't have to do any of this. He goes first 15. As she got up to glean, Boaz gives orders to the men. So imagine Ruth stands up, everybody's still sitting down for lunch. Ruth gets up to go work again. Boaz says, hold on, let me just say something. He says this, let her gather among the sheaves. Don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up and don't rebuke her. This is his hand of protection. Boaz's hand of protection is over Ruth. What did Boaz's blessing ask for? Verse 12. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to take refuge. Boaz's words is like that wing of refuge over her life. And then he will say, take out what's already in the bundles and leave it for her. Take out what was going to go to my barn, what was due for your wages, and give it to Ruth. Let her have it. This is hospitality at its finest. This is a beautiful expression of love. This is a beautiful expression of knowing the letter of the law and going beyond it, getting to the spirit of the law, getting to what God actually wants for his people. It's an act of grace. It's an act of favor, because what can Ruth possibly give back to Boaz? Nothing. It's pure grace. It's pure favor. Ruth can do nothing for Boaz. And yet Boaz gives this wonderful expression of protection and provision for her. And so what we see is the giving and experiencing of kindness. Boaz gives it and Ruth receives it, and we get this beautiful picture of the hesed, the kindness of God at play. One of the commentators, Block, he said, Boaz took an ordinary event and transformed it into a magnanimous occasion of compassion, generosity, and acceptance. Boaz gives the kindness of God, and as a result, Ruth experiences the kindness of God. Both are blessed, right? Because what does Jesus say? It's more blessed to give than to receive. But how does Ruth feel at this moment? Extremely blessed, right? And that's what we see as we get into the third scene. The third scene is now the end of the day. I'm in verse 17 to the end. Ruth, she's gleaned, she's threshed, she's got an ephah. An ephah is 13 kilograms. That's a lot. That's like 2 weeks worth of food for them. And it's also a strong woman, right? Carrying 13 kilograms wherever she was going from the fields out to Naomi's house. It's a lot to carry. She's brought it back even after she'd eaten her fill. She takes it to her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law sees how much she has gathered, and she asks, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? How is this possible?" Basically, is what she's asking. "Blessed is the man who took notice of you." And Ruth told her mother-in-law, "The name of the man who I worked with today is Boaz." She left home empty. She returns home full. Left empty, returned full. This is a picture, a small picture of what happens when God's words are lived out. When God's words are obeyed by someone and enjoyed by another. What a beautiful picture, right? Not only the letter of the law, but the spirit of it. And then so Naomi will respond rightly. She'll say, "The Lord bless him. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." The kindness of the Lord is on display here. The commentators actually think that she's talking about the Lord. The Lord has expressed his kindness to Naomi. Who's it expressed through, though? It's expressed through Boaz. The man Boaz does the acting. But it is from the heart of the Lord. And we hear more about this thing about him being a guardian redeemer. This man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers. Hold that thought. It's not relevant for the rest of chapter 2, but it becomes relevant in chapters 3 and 4. Basically, it means this man could have some legal obligations or have some ways that he needs to care for them as a family. And then you just continue in this conversation in verses 21, 22, and it's almost like giddy and joyful between Ruth and Naomi, because Ruth doesn't really care about the guardian redeemer stuff. She just says, "He even let me stay. He let me come back. He let me work until the harvest is finished and I have all my grain." Naomi, "Oh, this is amazing. This will be good for you. Keep working. Someone else may harm you. Stay there." And then we close the scene in verse 23. Ruth stays there, she works, she gleans until the harvest is finished, and she lives with her mother-in-law. Ruth continues to be protected. She continues to be provided. This is not just a one-off moment from Boaz. He continues in it. When someone who you've met once remembers your name the second time, how do you feel? You feel known, right? When someone remembers part of your story the next week, how do you feel? Oh, this was genuine. When you hear it and you see it and there's provision that happens for you on and on and on, you know, wow, I'm looked after, I am known. Imagine Ruth in this moment. The woman who is empty is now full. She has discovered the kindness of God as Naomi has. The events of the day have made them see that God is kind. Naomi, back in chapter 1, she said in verse 21, "I left full and I've returned empty." What Naomi couldn't see in this moment is she didn't return completely empty, because she returned with Ruth. And Ruth has been the one who has ventured out. Ruth has been the one that God has used Boaz to provide for, and who Ruth has provided for Naomi. The Lord's hand is still caring for Naomi too. She has gone from empty to being full. And so as we look at this story, and Naomi begins it and Naomi ends it. So if we look back at it through Naomi's eyes, what can we see? As Naomi looks back across the day, what kind of faith does Naomi see? She sees full faith and she sees empty faith. Faith of the one who is empty and faith of the one who is full, but faith in people that trust in the Lord all the same. In Ruth, we see the faith of one who is empty. Ruth is the one who says, "Let me go into the field. Let me venture out. Let me go into the unknown. Let me take the risk. Let me trust that God's word will come to pass. What does Boaz see in Ruth? She sees the one who's come under the wings of the Lord to take refuge. She's not gone somewhere else. She's not gone to other gods. She's not gone to stay in Moab. She's gone to the Lord. That's the faith of the empty. They go to the one who can fill them. This is Ruth. And what does the narrator say of Ruth? Ruth gleaned, she's humble, she worked hard, and she lived with her mother-in-law. It's not a one-off occasion for Ruth either. She's faithful to her commitment to Naomi. She's faithful to her work. She's faithful to carry out her commitment that she has made to Yahweh. Ruth is a beautiful picture of a woman who has nothing to stand on and nothing to offer the Lord, but commits herself to him fully. That's what we see through the eyes of Naomi in the person of Ruth. We see an empty person's faith compels them to bold action. Scared action, perhaps. Unknowing action, but faithful action based on what God says or who he is rumored to be. And we also see the faith of one who is full. The character of Boaz is the one who is full. Now, I was actually quite taken back by the character of Boaz this week in preparation. Not many people, in fact, I can't really think of one other than Jesus who is so perfect. Now, Boaz is not perfect. He's got some flaws. But in the way that the book is written, Boaz is this perfect character. But he is so wealthy. He has all the power. He has all of it in this story. But he has not stopped showing kindness. He shows the hesed, the character of loving loyalty called hesed, which God is and offers. The wealthy, powerful, strong man is a blessing for others. What a beautiful picture. He is the vehicle of God's kindness. I said, you know, Boaz doesn't live to the letter of the law because he lives to the spirit of the law. He doesn't just, I've ticked that off. He sees the heart of God and he lives it out. That's the character of the fool, the one who has lots of things whom God has blessed them with. One of the commentators, Starling, wrote, Boaz read the law of Moses from a position of wealth and social privilege and uses those resources liberally for the good of others. That's what God wants of his people. Bless them. Bless others. We see that beautifully in the heart of Boaz. One of the other writers, Tony Merida, wrote, a person of grace is motivated not by the law, but by grace. We're not motivated by the particular words. We're motivated by the character of God, the ones that the words point to, that talk about. The graciousness of God is on display. And so what do we see through Naomi's eyes? That God uses the faith of the fool. For those of us who are wealthy and business owners or in good paying jobs or whatever it may be, God uses our faith when we follow in after him. We have an incredible opportunity to bless others. And then also through Naomi's eyes, we see a sovereign God. We see her sovereign God of kindness, the Lord. All these little moments as it happened, as it turned out, just then. The real wink, wink, nudge, nudge moments that God's hidden hand is at work here. They can't see it until afterwards, right? 2020 vision at the end. They're seeing it now at the end of the day. God's hidden hand of kindness is throughout our lives. And Naomi is beginning to see it here. Although the Lord is not mentioned by name. One of the commentators, Webb, wrote, in the kindness of Boaz, Naomi perceives the kindness of God and knows herself to be the object of it. She knows God is being kind to her through this man. What a beautiful thing to see God's kindness through the circumstances of your life, through my life, where God is at work to see his good purposes come past. What does Naomi see? She begins to see a love story begin to blossom between Boaz and Ruth. But ultimately what she's seeing is a deeper, more significant love story at play. of God's unshakable, unstoppable love for his children. That's the love story that she's beginning to see, his sovereign good hand. Because Boaz is not just a man of this story. He points us to the greatest man who is Christ. He is a kind of Christ. We're going to learn more about that as we see him as a redeemer. But Christ is so much just the perfection of this story, where he is the model of justice. He embodies the spirit of the law. When Jesus says in his sermon, you have heard it said, but I say to you, in the Sermon on the Mount, it's talking about this. You see what it says in the law, get to the heart of it. That's when he instructs, that's who he is and what he instructs. His kindness and compassion for the outcast, the refugee, the sick, the vulnerable. You flick through a gospel, what do you see Jesus doing? Embracing the outcast, healing the sick, calling in those who are on the fringes. He strengthens, he empowers, he protects, and he offers his grace. Everything undeserved. That is the beautiful God of kindness that we see. So what does it look like for us today? The faith of the empty and the faith of the full. Maybe you're in between. No, got a little bit of both. Perhaps we're on the seeking side, the empty side, but still called to have faith. Part of it is this moment. If you're empty and you've come to worship the Lord, hear his songs be sung, to hear his word be preached, to hear it be read, you are seeking after the Lord who can protect you for eternity. Some of us are empty and in need. And I love what Webb said. He says, those like Ruth who seek refuge in the Lord of Israel will find, to their great surprise, that he has already been seeking them. Ruth is in search of need. She's in search of the Lord. And she is finding that the Lord is searching out her. And then what about for us who are full? Us being a person and being a people of God's kindness. For some of us, indeed our church, we're called to be a bit like Boaz, to live out his kindness to the people that come across our path, to be the kind of people that show the kindness towards others who are vulnerable, to be a community of people who is attractive, that commends God and his rule to the nations. That's how one of the writers, Chester, put it. So in your life as a person of Jesus, to be kind is to live out the words of the Lord, to live out the character of Jesus, to go above and beyond for people, to notice, to protect, to provide, to give what you can. And for us at Nahui, we want to be this people of kindness for the vulnerable and for the searching and for the needy and the wandering who come in. And for us, as we find ourselves in need of whatever, that our church will be a place of the refuge of the Lord, that God would use us to demonstrate his kindness. And what a wonderful church for us to be a part of. So friends, wherever we're full or whether we are empty, have that faith that seeks after the Lord and know that his sovereign hand is at work for us and through us to his glory and for our good. I'm going to pray, and then Nicole is going to read again this chapter for us. God, you're so good, and God, you're kind. Father, thank you for all the things that we do notice about what you do for us. But Father, help us to see the things that we don't notice. And Father, for those of us who are more like Ruth and in need, give us the strength that they need to step out in faith, to step towards you, to seek you, and to find that you are seeking them first. And for those of us who are full, help us to be more like Boaz, and actually more like the person of Jesus, who gives, who labors for others, who offers protection and provision for whatever we can. May we use whatever power and strength that you've given us for the blessing of others and to your glory, and may you be the one who others see. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to read from Ruth chapter 2 now. Please follow along in your Bibles. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She's the Moabite who came from Moab with Naomi." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law.